On New Year's Day, after we finished the Divine Liturgy, I went in the back and I took my vestments off, and as I do out of habit, I checked my email before even leaving the church. And I found that at about 12 o'clock on New Year's Day, I had 25 emails. And one of those emails was from a friend, and the other 24 were solicitations of some kind. There was one of the solicitations that did want to be my friend, because he used the word pal, and the first part of that word was pay. So if you can pay, you can be my pal. I guess that's how PayPal works. And it just sort of shows you that that the sales industry never rests, even on holidays. I heard about the after Christmas sale, and get it before the end of 2014 sale, and then the New Year's sale, and now it's the after New Year's sale, and pretty much any day of the year you're going to find a sale and multiple solicitations on your phone. Today there are several things that are commemorated in the life of the church. One of them, which is sort of an obscurity, is that today is called the Synaxis of the 70 Apostles. When you read the Gospels, there are two groups of apostles. There are the 12, that we all know very well their names, Peter, Andrew, James, John, etc. And then there's a grouping called the 70 Apostles. And we read about them mostly in Luke chapter 10, that the 70 returned to Christ and he sent out the 70. So it wasn't just 12 people. It was 12 people that were in the inner circle of Christ and were around him most of the time during his ministry. But there were 70 other apostles that were coming and going during his ministry, and then they were also very important in establishing the early church. Now, some of these 70 are well known. For instance, St. Luke, who is the evangelist of the third gospel, is one of the 70. St. Mark, the author of the second gospel, is one of the 70. St. Titus, one of the epistles is written to, and St. Philemon. Those are members of that grouping of 70, and then there are others of the grouping of 70 who are lesser known. But you will see on your church calendar, which, by the way, if you didn't get, we are having it out in the hall today. Yes? So please pick up your church calendar. But when you see every day on the saint of the day, it'll say two or three saints of the 70. That refers to the 70 apostles, and then today they're all commemorated in one grouping. Today is also the four feast of the Epiphany, or the Theophany. Now, it's interesting the way that the church calendar, the liturgical calendar, is formed. The liturgical calendar starts on September the 1st, and most of the feasts of the early months of the calendar are feasts of the Virgin Mary and the prophets, and they take place before the Nativity of Christ. And then we have the Nativity, Theophany, the Ministry of Christ, Lent, Holy Week, Pascha, Pentecost, and then the rest of the year is dedicated to teaching us and reminding us that we have a role in the church, which is to project the faith. So in this part of, in coming into sort of the middle part of the liturgical calendar year, again, we are now 4 months into the liturgical calendar, we celebrate the feast of the manifestation of God in our midst. The first feast is the Feast of the Nativity that we celebrated 10 days ago. Today's the 11th day of Christmas still. And in the first manifestation of Christ, the Incarnation, that happens in a very private, quiet way. He is revealed to Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the Magi, not to the whole world. And in the second feast of the manifestation of God, which is now sort of the bookend of this festival season, we have the Feast of the Theophany, which is the manifestation of God through the Igumene, through the world. And so Christ is revealed as the Son of the Father, because when he comes out of the water of baptism, a voice comes from heaven and says, "This is my Son, my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." And alighting over his head is a dove representing the Holy Spirit. And so Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity, are present for the first time in the history of humanity. Again, revealed to all of us. And now the ministry of Christ is not a private thing that happened at the Nativity, but now this begins the public ministry of Christ, that he's going to go out and give the saving message to the whole world. The scripture readings for today in the epistle reading, these two scripture readings, the theme of them is really encouragement for us. Encouragement now at the beginning of the new year, to have a great year, but also encouragement in our spiritual walk. In the gospel lesson, St. John is encouraging his faithful followers. Whom was St. John? St. John didn't just appear the day that the Lord was baptized in the River Jordan. St. John, from before his birth, was told to his parents that he was going to be the forerunner of Christ. So his entire life, he spent preaching, "After me is coming one greater than I." St. John had the title of the Baptist because he was baptizing people in the River Jordan. And baptism, at that time, was used in the same way that we're using the sacrament of confession. It was done periodically as a ritual cleansing from sin. So people would go out and they would be baptized multiple times. Once or twice per year, they were going to the river and they were being baptized by the Baptists that were there, John being one of them. And John had a group of people that was following him closely, a group you could call them disciples, groupies, followers, whatever you want to call them. And at the feast of the Theophany, John said to his disciples, "Behold the Lamb of God. This is the one that I've been telling you about who's coming after me. This is the one that we're all going to follow." And so John is encouraging his followers. Don't despair. Something greater is coming. And while we're waiting for that, prepare the way of the Lord that is coming. Now, imagine that this aisle down the church was covered with leaves and dirt. And you say, at the one end of the path is God, at the other end of the path is your heart. So we say, in order for God to come into my heart, I have to make the path clean and clean up whatever is there. So as we are coming to the new year, and passing the new year, and we make New Year's resolutions, and many of us clean our houses right before, right after the new year, so we enter the new year in a state of cleanliness, ready to work. If you want to come to my office, I give it the twice a year cleaning. I can't wait to do it only once a year, so I do it now. I do it in the middle of summer when I get tired of looking at a mess, but it's clean now. Probably won't be too long. Hopefully won't be too long. The idea is that when you clean something, you feel better, that thing works better. So prepare the pathway to your heart and make it clean. Make it ready to receive the Lord, especially in the new year, when we're all into a new start. New Year's resolutions and things like that. And then in St. Paul's letter to Timothy, and this is one of the shortest epistle readings of the year, but it is among my favorite epistle readings. In fact, when I die, hopefully many years from now, I hope at my funeral someone will give the epistle of Timothy as my eulogy. I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I kept the faith. I mean, at the end of your life, this is what life is about. Now, here's the thing. We have to use the word "the." I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. As defined by Christ, many people are like, "Well, I'm fighting a good fight, according to me. I am running a good race, according to me. I'm keeping some semblance of the faith, or of a faith, according to me." It's not, "I fought a good fight." And then people come to the end of their life and think, "I fought a good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith." You shouldn't think of it that way. We have to think about it as, "I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith," as we received it from our Lord Jesus Christ, through the apostles, through the church to this day. And for those who are keeping the faith, those who are running the race, those who are fighting the good fight, we are promised by God, in the words of St. Paul, that a crown of righteousness awaits us, not only singular, but all the people who have followed Christ throughout the ages. So in order to fight the good fight and finish the race and keep the faith, we need to have two things. And those two things are an internal drive and internal interest in those things. I can't make someone fight the good fight. They can't make me fight the good fight. There has to be something from inside of me that says, I want to do those things. There has to be an internal drive for those things. But the other thing that we pretty much need to have, and many of us say, I don't need that, but really we do. The second thing we need to have is we need to have encouragement from outside of us. We need to have encouragement to keep fighting the good fight, to keep running the race, to keep the faith. Because the Christian faith, number one, is not meant to be lived on an island. That's why you have a church community. You have a community of people. We're not expected to do this by ourselves. But the second thing is, we can't really do this by ourselves. Sometimes life gets extremely hard, or it gets extremely frustrating, or it gets extremely puzzling. Why is this so-and-so thing happening? And we need to have the encouragement of other people to keep fighting the good fight. Without the encouragement of other people, I confess, I would have given up this fight a long time ago. There are days where I feel like I can't keep fighting. And when an encouragement comes from someone, because they say, I'm praying for you, or I care about you, keep fighting the fight. Then I say, all right, I can keep fighting the fight. Now, some days, I am the encourager. I'm doing very well in my fight, I'm very well in my race, and I'm in a position where I can encourage other people. In fact, many, maybe most days are like that. But there are days where I don't feel like fighting. I don't feel like keeping the race or the faith. And that's when I need encouragement from other people. But everybody needs this. Everybody needs encouragement. And you don't just need encouragement from your priest. You need encouragement from your peers. All right, everyone comes to the priest, and of course they expect to receive encouragement, and of course you will get encouragement. Just like I tell people, you know, if you read the Bible, let's say that Eleni is reading the Bible, Eleni loves to read the Bible. If Eleni encourages Priscilla to read the Bible, Priscilla is a lot more likely to read the Bible because Eleni says so than because Father says so. Why is that? Because everyone says, well, that's your job. Of course you're going to tell us to say that, Father, but when one of our own peers says that, then it goes a lot farther. So your job, encouraging your peers, is as important, if not important, than my role in encouraging that. I encourage you, you encourage me, but most importantly, we encourage each other to fight the good fight, finish the race, and keep the faith. Now, when you're encouraging, that doesn't mean that we let ourselves get walked over. It doesn't mean that we don't call out someone when they're doing something wrong. I encourage my son every day. That doesn't mean that I don't correct him when he's wrong. That would not be loving. But it means that even when someone's doing wrong and you correct them, you still continue to encourage them. And you see the good in them. You work to see the good in everybody, and you work to see the glass as half full. There is a saying, speak the truth in love. Speak the truth, but speak it in love. Don't speak the truth. I mean, if you say to somebody, you know, you blew that, you don't say, you are a failure, there's no future for you. You say, you can do better. I know that you can do better. I want to see you do better. I believe you can do better. And then that way the behavior is corrected and the person is encouraged rather than torn down. So this is the goal I have for our church this year. Try to make things simple as possible for myself and for you. Let's work on being encouraging toward one another. Using words that are encouraging toward each other. Solving differences quickly and then moving to encouragement rather than keeping things in a negative light and discouraging others. Measure your words before you say something. Ask yourself, am I speaking the truth in love? And is what I'm doing, what I'm about to say, is that going to be encouraging? We should continue doing what we're doing. We had a great year in 2014, and I look forward to a great year in 2015. But keep the faith and encourage others, not only to keep the faith, but be a witness for others who are not in the faith to come to the faith. When you meet someone and the faith is not a big part of their life, encourage them. Encourage them to come to the faith. Come and see. Come and see, and let us be something that is worth being seen. A place that gives some kind of respite from the difficult world that we all live in. Someone was asking, why do I come to church every Sunday? Why do I need to do that? And I said, I come to church because I receive encouragement just from the prayers that I'm hearing. Even if no one encourages me face to face, I'm receiving encouragement just by reading the words of the liturgy, just just by praying the words of the liturgy, I'm receiving encouragement. The Lamb of God is robed and distributed, robed but not divided, forever eaten and never consumed, but sanctifies all those who partake of Him. So there's some sanctification coming to me because I partook of communion today. Again, that's something good and positive and encouraging. It doesn't require anyone to say anything. So I come even having had the worst week, when I have a bad week, and on a good week, when I've had a good week, and I come and I receive some sanctification merely by being here. This is one of the reasons why, one of the many reasons why we're supposed to encourage one another to come and to make sure that we're here ourselves. And with that, I will wish you a good year, a good beginning of the year, a good first week of the year, and I hope to see many of you tomorrow and on Tuesday and Wednesday as we celebrate the Feast of Theophany and the Feast of St. John the Baptist and St. of our church. May the Lord God bless and keep you.